Thank you, Dawson, for doing that and for getting people to share. Thank you for all of you that shared as well. It is meaningful when we do that, and it's very helpful to each of us. And if we know what you're facing, what others are facing, it helps us and encourages us and to see how God works, and it helps us to pray for each other as well. So, keep it up. This morning, I was thinking this week, what's a relevant topic? And so, I thought about fear. Yeah, fear is probably as relevant as it gets with all the virus talk and all the things that are going on. Seems to be the news that is out there and that everybody's thinking about, talking about, even though none of us know much about it and none of us are really affected, hopefully. But it's still there. And it is affecting us, and it probably will affect us more as it goes on in our work. And in, so far, we're allowed to be here together as a crowd. I understand in Indiana, the governor said that no one can gather in a crowd over 250 people. So there are a lot of churches there today that are not having a service because of that. And so it does affect us. And it may affect us even more, even our work, in our economy, and so on. But and so it can. There's probably a lot of fear out there. There are a lot of ifs and unknowns, and so on. And so, what do we do? What's our response? Have you gone shopping and loaded up on extra things? Many people have, obviously. Or is life just a daily? You go on your life just as you did. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you do your things around the house. Children go to school. Life is as usual, pretty much that way. A few weeks ago, Sam preached. And as I was going through this and putting things together, I didn't really have a title, and I didn't have a text, and I thought I didn't really need one because I had a lot of different scriptures. But as I thought of it, I thought, well, I probably should have a title, and I should have a text. It just doesn't seem right. And so as I studied, I did find a verse that I was going to read out of Philippians 2. And so I looked at that portion and I said, doesn't quite fit with fear, although verse 12 talks about fear. But as I looked at it and as I read it, I said, yes, I think that chapter is relevant to what I want to talk about as well. Maybe branching out into the topic of fear a little bit more or differently. And I may not get to all my notes today either, and that's okay. But to think of the uncertainty and so on in our life, it's not just about the virus, but it's in the times that we live. As we observe, as you listen to the news, and where people thoughts are going and their actions and reactions and so on. We're certainly living in a different kind of age, a different kind of time than we are used to. So I've titled this, Living in Confidence Amid Fear. Philippians 2, we'll read 1 through 13. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my law, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For our closing song, maybe Curtis, if you could prepare 546 in the Faith and Praise. So as we think about fear, Webster describes it as being anxious or anxious anticipation of danger, pain, etc., or fright. And then another definition is awe, reverence toward a supreme power. Two very different definitions as well. The one is very physical, and fear is not all wrong. There is good fear, and sometimes the Bible, the terminology of fear is different than what we think of, and I want to talk a little bit about that. But children often fear different things. They might be afraid of the dark, or they might be afraid of, most children are afraid of punishment. And so they might fear their parents because if they do something wrong, and that's okay. But I want to talk a little bit more about that too. And we look, sometimes we as adults, sense that same kind of fear toward God. And it's not what God wants for us as his people. We are to fear God. The Bible talks over and over and over again about fearing God. But it's not the fear where we dread to come before God. But it's a fear of being in awestruck and in reverence to God. And when we do that, it causes us to worship God and obey him. And I know that as parents, you don't want your children to obey you out of fear, but you want them to obey you because they can see that you love them. And as you instruct them, as you teach them, and by doing that, you can teach them the fear of God, in that God is one to be reverenced and respected and obeyed as well. And if they don't learn that at home, they will have a more difficult time, I believe, as they grow up in respecting and obeying and reverencing God as well. And so fear, as I said, is not all bad. If it wasn't for fear, you would go and sometimes you do anyway. You touch something that's hot. And you find out that, I should not have touched that. I did that this winter. And sort of silly. But I had a heater and it wasn't working right. And so it wasn't red hot like it was normally. And yet it had been running. It was making a noise, but it wasn't a flame. And so I just wanted to see if it was hot. And it was hot. And thought, well, I should have knew better. Even though it was burning even though I didn't see it. And so that kind of fear is good. It keeps us from danger many times, keeps us from doing things that we shouldn't do, such as sticking your tongue on frosted something steel. You know, you learn, you do that once, you learn that you don't do it again. It's painful. So not all fear is bad. And God gave us fear for different reasons. In the Bible, many times it talks about when angels came and appeared, or when God appeared and spoke to people, and then God's response or the angel's response was, fear not, don't be afraid. Trying to put the person, calm them down so that they could hear the message that God had for them. And so as we look at this, second in Philippians 2, as Paul is talking here to the Philippians here, and he's explaining to them, my Bible says it's exhortation to love, unity, and humility. And it talks about how that we should, as people, interact with each other. And in verse 4, it says, don't just look on your own things, but look out on other people's things as well. Don't be selfish. Don't be looking inward constantly, but we're reaching out. That's what you were doing this morning in sharing time. As you shared, others were able to pray for you and for those that were mentioned. And again, there is an encouragement and there is power that is displayed in that as we help each other and stand with each other through life's difficulties. And then he goes on to explain how that Jesus, the very God, creator God, came down and he became man. He became a servant to men. And he humbled himself as a man. And he became obedient even to death and death on the cross. And then it says, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what does that have to do with fear? I believe it's simply as we recognize who Jesus is and what he has done, and the great love that he displayed to us and to mankind, that it helps us as we accept that and understand that in our lives and see what Jesus did and really who he became to show us who God was, that it takes away this fear of God. It takes away this, it instills within us an awe and a reverence for a holy God, one that is over all, one that knows everything, and then one that can help us in all our troubles and our trials. I found this, and I'm going to read it because I think it explains it a little better than I can. God's work, his power, majesty, and holiness evoke fear and demand acknowledgement. The fear of God is not to be understood as a dread that comes out of the fear of punishment, but as a reverential regard and the awe that comes out of recognition and submission to the divine. It is a revelation of God's will to which the believer submits in obedience. As I said earlier, you don't want your children to dread coming to you. And God doesn't want us to have the kind of fear that we're afraid. We are dreading. You dread to come into the presence of God. But we come with a submission and an awe and a reverence to worship God. And it causes us to obey him and his commands as well. Verse 12, Paul tells us, he told the Philippian church, and he's talking to us as well. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying that you need to go and try to earn salvation. That's not what he's saying. But he says, because of your salvation, you go on, you're working. You work for God. You continue on. You do the things that you do in ministry, in helping others, and so on. Just as Jesus did, is how you work that out. In fear, you do that in awe, in reverence before God, and display that in your life. As I said, there are a lot of scriptures that talk about fear. And I thought of the Psalms and in Proverbs. I'm going to read a few of those. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the first part. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then Proverbs 15, 33, it says, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs 1, 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Again, it's not the fear of the Lord is wisdom, but it's the beginning of. If you have the fear of the Lord, then you are open to learn and to gain knowledge and to gain the wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is only the beginning, and then you go on from there. When you fear and have awe and reverence to God, then you can learn, and you will have God's wisdom within you. 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Christians are no longer slaves of fear, for Christ has given them not a spirit of timidity or cowardice, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7. Again, people that are bound in fear are in torment. They're not happy because they don't have any security of what to base anything on, because everything's uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen. We don't know that either. But we do have a security in Jesus Christ, in that we know that Jesus came, and as a man, as Paul explains here, he became a servant to men. And so he understood. He went through everything that you and I face. He experienced in some form or degree so that he can comfort us. As Dawson was saying, he was comforted of his Father, and he went through these experiences. In turn, he can comfort us when we go through those experiences as well. And so as Christians, we have the advantage. Our Sunday school talked about the Jews having an advantage. And as Christians, we have the advantage in times like this, when everything is in turmoil and everything is unsure. We have Jesus still is the solid rock. He is the foundation. He is the one that we're building our trust, we're putting our trust in. And we can't put it in our government. We can't put it in our president. We can't put it in our doctors. We can't put it in anyone. But it has to be, our trust and confidence has to be in God. Because he is the same today, and he will be the same tomorrow as he was yesterday. And he understands, and he knows. You know, is this virus as bad as they say? I don't know. I don't know anything about it. But I know that our governments, for whatever reason, is it out of fear? Many organizations, I think, are also operating out of fear, because if they don't shut these different venues down and whatever, they will be looked bad by the other people. And so it's a peer pressure kind of thing, I think, is sort of helping this whole thing to keep the ball rolling. I don't know, but it appears that way. Rather than being able to stand and say, well, whatever happens, we will trust God, and God will help us through that. I'm not saying that people shouldn't be wise and make some smart choices, but to what extent do you carry that? Again, knowing that God is in control, and we need to trust him through not just when there's a virus, but whenever our everyday life. And the things that we face as we live our lives, and it's always something. There's always something that is either we're facing something, or we're about to enter something, or we've just come through something. And so there's always this thing of fear within us, and it can become controlled by fear if we're not careful. So let's not. Let's have confidence. Let's live in confidence, knowing that regardless, should we get the virus, we're still in God's hand, and God will take care of us, and God will help us through that time as well. Psalm 56 is a good chapter, as David is numerous times, and I have three different verses that I want to read here, that what his idea or his explanation was what he would do when he's afraid. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's in verse 3. Verse 4 is, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And verse 11 is, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. And so, let's you and I as well, let's put our confidence and our trust in God, who is able to help us and to able to protect us and able to take us through these unusual and difficult times. There were a few other. I was going to go through seven fear nots, but it's about time to close. I think I'll save them for another time. But I just want to encourage each of us as you look at this Philippians 2, and I love this chapter, and I love Paul's writings in a way that Galatians and Philippians and Ephesians, the different Gospels or epistles that he has written, the encouragement and how that he seems to be able to connect with the people and explaining to them God's mission in sending Jesus and what he does for us, and how that in relating in the way that we respond to God's call helps us in relating to who God is and accepting what Jesus did for us. So I think with nothing more, we will pray and then we will sing.